Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Subcommittee on Transportation and Economic Development. It is Monday, August 11, 2003. At this time, I'm going to open as a subcommittee for a public hearing, purpose of a public hearing on Senate Bill 772A related to transportation. Senator Starr, welcome.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Senator Morris, appreciate the opportunity to testify in front of you this morning. For the record, I'm Senator Bruce Starr from Senate District 15 in Western Washington County. Senate Bill 772, I'm just going to give you a quick snippet and then turn it over to the experts who can tell you inside and outside and upside and down all about this bill and the program that we're proposing to start at the Department of Transportation. But I just want to give you a quick little bit of a background, and then I'll turn the dais over to those that actually know something. This bill, the genesis of this bill was Senate Bill 966 from the last session. It was Senator Clarno's bill. She set up the Innovative Finance Advisory Committee in that bill. The governor then appointed membership to that committee. And really what we had are some of the finest minds on innovative transportation and finance from the West Coast that came and worked with the department. The Department of Transportation took the bull by the horns on this issue, on this bill. And really, I think we've developed a really impressive piece of legislation here, and hopefully over time will, I believe, change the face of transportation in this state. Today what we have is, if you had a private company that had an idea and had a proposal to build a new transportation facility and went and knocked on the door at ODOT and said, we'd like to sit down and talk to you about, you know, building X transportation project, and here's how we think we could finance it, build it and finance it, ODOT really would not have a mechanism to say, okay, come on in the door, let's sit down around a conference table and talk about this and negotiate a deal. There's currently really in Oregon statute, there's not the mechanism for them to do that. What this bill does is it creates that mechanism for ODOT to entertain those kinds of what I would consider exciting opportunities to deal with transportation needs in the state. Bottom line, that's what this bill does, is it creates that environment, that mechanism, so that ODOT can say, come on in, let's talk. As you'll listen when the others that will testify behind me, it doesn't allow us to get behind or around any of the stringent environmental rules, land use regulations, public process that we have in place, and the regular STIP process. All of that remains in place for this program. So we're not trying to get around the rules, so to speak, with an innovative finance technique. Really what it does is it provides an additional tool in the Department of Transportation's toolbox to try to deal with transportation needs. I think that's quick, brief. I'd like to turn it over to, I think Jim Witte probably would be the one to come up and testify, and we've got other folks here that would be happy to testify as well. So I appreciate the opportunity to kind of be the leadoff hitter on this one, and appreciate the committee holding the hearing.
Thanks, Senator. These are the ideas we've all been working on for a long time. Good to see it finally to this point. Jim, did you want the director to come up also, or are you the person to bat?
I think I'm the guy.
You're it.
Something comes up that he's better able to handle.
You know, I always get accused of rushing along anyway, but this morning we were really rushed. So particularly with Frank and I, we understand this pretty well, so we'll let you walk through it as quickly as you can. What we're facing, folks, is we have a caucus that we were told is extremely important because of negotiation over the weekend. So we are trying to get a committee here at this time, by the way. If we get them here, I may have to close the public hearing in order to move a couple of bills.
Sure.
Okay.
Okay. For the record, I am Jim Witte with the Oregon Department of Transportation, here today in support of Senate Bill 772. This bill is a result of work done by the Innovative Finance Advisory Committee that was mandated by Senate Bill 966 from the 2001 session. As Senator Starr referenced, we have with me today John Carter, who served on that advisory committee and is here to support the bill. This is simply a new way to do transportation projects. It won't be something that is done for the bulk of or even the overwhelming majority of transportation projects in this state. but it might, the tools and authority granted in this bill may well allow Oregon to resolve some potential conundrums that we have with regarding transportation projects. Senator George, do you have a majority?
Say again.
Are you
yes,
going to stop?
I'd like to go ahead and close the public hearing, and then we'll reopen again because we do have a quorum request for time. Sorry to be have such an urgency here. Do we have our other folks? Okay, good. All right. Thanks. If everybody will stand by, I think we can figure out a way to do this and complete the public hearing this morning. And at this time, I'm going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 772A, and we're going to open up a work session. We will stand at ease. Jim, I should have had you just continue. You know, I thought we had everyone in. We're missing staff.
We have a quorum.
We're going to reopen a public hearing on Senate Bill 772A. Yes, you can.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Jim Whitty again, back. Okay. What this bill does is encourage private sector firms to develop and construct major Oregon transportation projects in partnership with ODOT and other units of government. The bill makes Oregon more hospitable to the private sector involvement in transportation projects. A passage of the bill may well allow many of the Oregon's largest transportation projects to proceed more quickly and with greater creative innovation and oftentimes less expensively than under traditional project delivery methods. The bill really does a couple of things. It removes some statutory impediments that make it difficult for the private sector to come into Oregon. In fact, impossible. And then it provides some tools as well to make the projects more likely to come together because there's more opportunities to use the tools. The impediments removed are as follows. The bill allows ODOT to solicit and enter into partnerships with private entities and units of government for a broad range of transportation projects. Currently, the only way we can do that is with a toll road statute only, the current toll road statute, Chapter 383. Only toll roads, but now we'll have a broader ability to do that. Secondly, it allows ODOT to accept proposals that are initiated from private firms. Third, it maintains the confidentiality of proprietary information that is submitted with the transportation project proposal while maintaining public transparency. It allows private sector partners to enter transportation projects as early as the conceptual stage of project development. And it streamlines processes for selection of partners. Those are the statutory impediments to public-private partnerships that will be removed by this bill. In addition, the bill provides a number of tools that will encourage and make easier the prospects of bringing in a private sector into a transportation project. And I'll go through some of those quickly. Permits the Attorney General, upon ODOT's request, to appoint special attorneys, assistant attorneys general to obtain particular legal expertise in evaluating and negotiating public-private agreements. Establishes a state enterprise, a transportation enterprise fund to pledge monies to secure debt obligations relating to private, public-private transportation projects. It authorizes bonding of transportation project revenues under a public-private agreement. It allows grant anticipation revenue bonds based on future federal funds and other federal financing tools in public-private initiatives. Expands the ability of the Oregon Transportation Infrastructure Fund to assist in financing a public-private transportation project, including ensuring repayment of loan guarantees on behalf of private entities. It allows public-private transportation projects to be financed by funds or property contributed by private entities. It expands ODOT's authority to use eminent domain to allow private sector ownership of facilities. And allows formation of districts to require all revenues from revenue sources collected within a district from the transportation project to be used exclusively for the benefit of the district. So those are the primary tools. As far as ODOT's structure itself, the bill creates an innovative partnerships program within ODOT, separate from traditional project delivery programs. Separated yet coordinated with traditional ODOT processes, the Innovative Partnerships Program will allow achievement of Senate Bill 72's defined goals for development of an expedited project delivery process and maximization of innovation. Now, there's been some concern now and then in the building about what the bill may do that isn't stated, and so I put a what the bill does not do section in my testimony. This is important. It doesn't change our land use processes. It doesn't change our environmental processes. It doesn't change our transportation planning processes. It doesn't change our transportation the Transportation Commission accepts projects under the State Transportation Improvement Program.
We have the testimony right here, and co-chair just urged us to move right along.
All right.
So, because we're going to lose a couple of members in addition to a caucus that's going to occur. So, I appreciate your patience
all
with
right.
this. And at this time, I'm going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 772A again. And we'll open up a work session on Senate Bill 467, Related Economic Development.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the subcommittee. The materials that I've distributed to you this morning are essentially the ones that I distributed to you last week. The only change really is that the date of my memorandum has changed to August 11th to reflect today's meeting. The materials, the other materials you have are this are the Dash A13 amendments to Senate Bill 467, and I'll just briefly point out that the Dash A13 amendment includes only the following concepts, and those are the program components of the Dash A11 amendments, which people may have seen before. The difference there is there was a series of name changes that occurred, and so the gap between the A11s and the A13s were merely form and style along those lines. The A13s do include the creation of the Economic Revitalization Team in the Office of the Governor. And as you may know, the Department of Administrative Services budget had, when it was submitted by the Governor, had included Community Solutions Office. That was removed from Department of Administrative Services. This essentially recreates that function within the Office of the Governor. The A13s also include an appropriation of general fund in the amount of $960,285 to the Department of Land Conservation and Development to implement its responsibilities, and that's based on its additional needs under these provisions that are not supported by the agency's adopted budget. That includes five positions and 4.17 FTE. It also includes an appropriation of $110,000 general fund to the Division of State Lands. It'll actually be the department eventually, but that bill doesn't take effect until January 1 of 2004. That includes one position at 0.83 FTE. It also authorizes the transfer of $360,000 of interest earnings of the Special Public Works Fund to the Governor's Office for only the 2003-05 biennium for purposes of implementing Senate Bill 467, and that's in Section 23 of the A13s. The remainder of the funding for the Economic Revitalization Team will be from adjustments to the budgets of Oregon Economic and Community Development Department, $300,000 in lottery funds from the direct regional rural funding, $310,000 lottery funds from strategic reserve that's otherwise available for regional rural funding, and the aforementioned $360,000 other funds from the Special Public Works Fund interest earnings. The Governor's Office budget then will be modified to reflect the allocations from this funding mechanism of $610,000 lottery funds, $360,000 other funds, and $428,068 general fund to provide the support to the team. I also want to point out for the record that there were other agencies that are named in the bill as participating agencies that indicated to us that they would have some minor potential fiscal impact. And to the extent that any other agencies that are not yet specified but could be asked by the governor to participate, if they were to incur expenses that were not otherwise budgeted and that they could not absorb, we do want to point out that they could then seek additional resources from the emergency board. Where did this come from?
we have a discussion occurring over here. My understanding is that the Dash 13s are, in fact, the work product of the group that was meeting to try to resolve the funding. I see heads nodding. Is that correct? Is everyone okay with it, Dash 13s? Because we have a couple questions right here. This is kind of informal.
It doesn't make sense. It's a damn railroad.
It's a railroad? I think the other committee is going to deal with the railroad issue.
We'd do a better job, though. Did you have I thought you had a question. You want a motion?
I think we're...
Yes. Mr. Chair, I'll move adoption of the Dash A13 amendment.
Senator Dukes has moved the adoption of the A13 amendments without objection. Seeing and hearing none, A13 is approved.
Mr. Chair, I'll move Senate Bill 467 as amended to full Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Dukes has moved that Senate Bill 467 as amended with A13s be moved to the full Ways and Means Committee with a due pass recommendation. Is there any further questions or comments? If not, without objection, seeing and hearing none, so approved.
Mr. Chairman, I am really glad to see the private sector and the department work together and to also try to deal with this economic downturn that we felt we were faced with. So just listening to some of the comments was great, but I wanted to take great opposition to the fact that we didn't have time to really ask questions and go into further development of the bill. But I think the intent is great.
Right. We need a
House carrier.
Okay. Good. All right. So we're going to everybody. Okay, we are great. We're going to close the public hearing, work session on Senate Bill 467. And we will open up a work session on House Bill 5013, Economic Community Development, for review of the budget.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the first thing that I need from you is a motion to reconsider the vote by which the subcommittee recommended that the bill be amended and moved to the full Ways and Means Committee with the due pass.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Carter has moved that we vote to reconsider the subcommittee recommendation on Senate Bill 5013, be amended and moved to the full Ways and Means Committee with a due pass recommendation. Are there any questions about that? Without objection? Seeing and hearing none? Approved.
Mr. Chair, the remainder of the information relates to what Adrian just discussed with you, which is reductions to the budget by $300,000 lottery funds from the planned distribution to the regions out of regional and rural investment programs, and a reduction of $310,000 lottery funds from the planned dedication of strategic reserve funds for regional, rural, and distressed areas. What I would ask for is a motion then based on that action to approve those budget adjustments. If you would like, we can have a motion to approve the revisions to the budget note, which simply implement those changes.
Okay, that covers all items number 3, 4, and 5?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Quite frankly, all we really need is a motion to adopt the Dash 3 amendments.
Okay. All right. Let's do that.
Mr. Chair.
Any questions?
I just want to make sure, before I move, I just want to make sure what we're moving, certainly. Because I actually have a question on this one.
Okay. Let's go back to that.
Well, but wait a minute. I'm happy to finish up what we just started here. Is that the number 3 on page 2?
No, actually, it's going to be at number 4.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the only change you are seeing are the reduction of $610,000. $310,000 out of strategic reserve, which is why the budget note is changed from $2 million to $1.69 million, and $300,000 out of the planned distribution to the regional rural investment program.
Mr. Chair, I'll move the Dash 3s.
Senator Dukes has moved the Dash 3 amendments to House Bill 5013. Are there any questions, comments? Then without objection, seeing and hearing none, so moved.
And then I need a motion to move the bill as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Mr. Chair, I have a question.
Okay.
On this number
page
two,
one, number two,
the budget note. Maybe I'm just reading it wrong, but in the past, strategic reserve money has been used as needed to sort of help push some things along. And it appears to me that we're now requiring that they come before the emergency board with specifying how it's going to be used.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, that is not what the budget note does. What the budget note does is it, first of all, directs the department to report on how the funds are used, and second of all, implements the agreement that Mr. Egan from the governor's office testified to with regard to how what had been $2 million and now is $1.69 million will be dedicated to regional, rural, and distressed community project funding out of that. And they are directed to report on that and pursuant to the agreement to distribute those funds if they are not able to use them as directed.
Okay. I get it. It's interesting, Mr. Chair, because the Strategic Reserve Fund was created in 87. For use by the governor, and it has always been retained. And the last governor then made all the applications go through the agency, but it's always been retained as something for use by the governor. And I think it's helped a lot of projects over time because it was easily accessible. And now we're making them report to the emergency board. We just sort of pulled it in.
Mr. Chair, I would clarify it is not legislative direction having to do with the $1.69 million. It was a request of the counties that,
I understand that.
The governor's office. And this is simply reporting.
I don't know that the agency has ever had to report specifically to the emergency board on the use of strategic reserve funds before.
I believe you're correct.
So we're sort of turned a corner here. I don't know that it's a good corner to turn, but we turned it.
Okay. Is there any further discussion? Then
I do. I think. Did we have a motion to move it to full as amended?
No.
I don't believe so.
No. Mr. Chair, I'll move House Bill 5013 as amended to the full Ways and Means Committee with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Dukes has moved the House Bill 5013 as amended to be moved to the full Ways and Means Committee with a due pass recommendation. Are there any further questions or comments? Then we'll do that without objection. Seeing hearing none.
Just a reminder, when we did the full bill, the carriers were Senator Carter and Representative Smith.
Are you still okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Thank you.
Very good.
Senator Smith is jumping at the bit.
Yes, he is.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyone who is not here shall be appointed.
You got it.
Is there any further business to come before the committee? At this time, then, I'm going to close a work session on House Bill 5013, and at the top of the gavel, we'll be adjourned.
Adjourned?
Well, excuse me. We will be in recess till further notice.
Okay. So we still got a bill?
Yes, we do have a bill. Thank you very much, by the way.
Committee.
Gavel, that will be the condition.